Krebs trying to turn it out of the zone. Panthers keep it in with 1:27 to go in the period. Shot from the line, stopped by Luukkonen. Rebound, a pad save over the far post. Barkov, right side, to the goal line. Far post, Luukkonen, great stop. He pushes out to meet Verhaeghe's shot. Thompson, quick shot, rebound, scores! Right at the post! Zucker, Sabres on the board, trailing 2-1. Power at the line, keeps it in, slides it across. To the net, with a chance, scores! That was a delicious finish by the captain.
You're listening to Jeremy and Joe on the home of the Sabres, WGR Sports Radio 550.
Hey, everybody. Good morning. Happy Tuesday. I enjoyed the hockey game last night.
You enjoyed a 5-2 loss?
I didn't enjoy a 5-2 loss.
I actually enjoyed the game, too. I'm not gonna
lie. I did enjoy the hockey game. And I was thinking about it this morning, Joe, and you know how it works. Good morning, Jeremy and Joe. And Josh Schmidt producing. And the Sabres lost last night. They play next against the Islanders on Friday, right? So, okay.
Yes.
All right. Yep. So here's my takeaway on the Sabres. A step towards being normal again, and I say that about them and about us.
Mm-hmm.
A thing that we can all decide to do to be normal is, hey, you know, that was a pretty good game. And I thought they looked pretty good for most of it. Without someone yelling back at you, your standard's so low that was good. Right? right? Can we just... You watched the second period?
The second period was great.
The second
period was really the thing, right? Like, that was...
Yeah, and I know it wasn't... Whatever. It's one period of a game, but the second period... I tweeted and thought, this team is buying in. This team is playing the style they're supposed to play. They're playing fast. They played well.
Mm-hmm.
If you've watched the Sabres and the Panthers for the last, I don't know how many years. Let's just go with like 3 years, 2 years, whatever you want. The games tend to look like it's men versus boys.
Yeah.
And I don't even mean that in a, there's so much more talented. I mean in style, physicality, aggression, strength on the puck. Panthers-Sabres games look like a varsity team playing a junior varsity team.
Yeah.
And it did not look like that. It was an even game, and the Sabres played, to my eye, pretty well. The first period on shot attempts, pretty even. Second, pretty even. Third,
Florida only had 6 shots in the first period total. They had 2 goals, but...
The whole thing was pretty even.
Yeah.
So... There's my rose-colored glasses, silver lining. Oh, you lost a game. You lost your 3-game win streak.
Mm-hmm.
And that stinks. And you had some things along the way that were bummers. But?
Like Owen Power not hitting an open net.
Yes, that was tough. Oh. Like Rasmus Dahlin taking a penalty.
Who else screamed as he gathered the puck in? Like, where was the goalie? Was he in the corner? Where was Bobrovsky? And, duh. Threw my hat when I saw that save. I'm like, come on.
Well,
it would have been 3-2. The lid would have blown off that place. But, I mean, they were playing. Even after they tied it, they were, like, flying up and down the ice.
Yeah, they look great.
They're fast.
They look fast. And how many players did they get to make them faster? Their fourth line might be faster.
Ryan McLeod
is definitely faster. Yeah, they thought they looked fast.
Their first line is faster, just replacing Skinner with Paterka.
Much faster.
I mean, there's a huge speed difference between those two.
Yeah, I mean, Skinner's always been a great skater, but it's not really about speed so much as it's about... Yeah. So, all right, you got all that.
They did lose by 3.
They lost by 3. The game got away from them.
their captain got tossed because he smacked a guy in the face with his stick.
That happened.
And goaltending.
Yeah, that's the thing, goaltending. Yeah, about the goalies. The goalies are... letting them down over and over and over again. And Luukkonen let them down again last night. Luukkonen, 5 goals against.
Yeah.
On 2.4 expected goals.
Mm-hmm.
He's not going to do it.
And he's on an .890 save percentage for the season.
Not good enough.
Which is exactly where he was 2 years ago.
Yep. 5-year contract. Another one of those, we got to lock this guy in as long as we can because we've seen enough. And the early returns on him this year, not good enough.
All right.
So, it stinks.
They probably should have, like, if they got the level of goaltending they had last year, they probably should have, like, 2 more wins.
Yes.
On the season. And that doesn't sound like a lot, but early in the season, I mean, that it's it would be a completely different feeling if they had two more wins right now.
Even one more
season.
Even one more win where with a overtime loss against the Penguins is just a regulation win.
Yeah.
We'd feel bad. Their goaltending is hurting them a lot. And Levi had a horrible game in Columbus.
He was horrible.
They gave up six that night, and it was a lot of, got to make a save.
Yeah.
Who's going to make a save? You mentioned Power not hitting that empty net. Part of the reason he didn't hit that empty net is because Bobrovsky came all the way across and did make the save.
Right. He made it hard on Power. He would have had to lift the puck. He shot it along the ice, and Bobrovsky was back to make an along the ice save.
Still a nice save.
Yeah.
What was the expected goals on that? I don't know. Might be like 0.4, but he made the save. Might be 0.1, whatever it is. I don't even know, like, individual shots, how that works. But.
Well, that's disappointing because that was something I thought could be a strength of this team coming into the year. Like, Luukkonen, I was saying and expecting there to be regression for him. I mean, he had a great year last year. Is he just going to be one of these goalies that puts up what he did last year every single year? Probably not, because those goalies are kind of rare. Oh, most goaltenders, Carey Price's and Marc-Andre Fleury's, Jonathan Quick's, all like the top goalies, except for like Henrik Lundqvist, have down years. They're very like every other type of goalies every season. So Luukkonen regressing is not surprising at all, but this is too far. Like this level of regression, that's too much regression.
Yep.
I would say. And Levi was the guy that I was like super high on, hopeful, like AHL season last year, second in the league. His goal state of expected numbers in the NHL were actually better than you think they would be. His development track has always been like top of the position for his age group. And he's played fewer games, but man, he looked so bad in Columbus last week. So I just need one of those two to produce, because I thought that could be a strength of this team, and right now it looks bad. Their last great goalie performance was which game? Have they had a game stolen by a goalie yet this year?
I don't know about that. Their last really good performance from a goalie.
Because that happened a lot last year. Luukkonen, there were a bunch of games where like, oh yeah, your goalie kind of stole that one for you.
Yeah.
And I don't know that that's happened yet this year.
There might have been, you know, big saves in big times.
Right, and they weren't bad every game. But
no, that's right. That's right.
It hasn't met the bar.
Luukkonen, let me pull up his game log to see if I, you know, they'll have goals saved above expected per game, but it's just not, we've seen that submarine team before. 2 years ago, they would have made the playoffs if they had a good goalie, and they didn't. They missed by a point.
Yep.
They outscored their bad goalie. So far this season, Luukkonen has 4 games under 900, 5 games under 910.
Like, is it too simplistic to just look at their schedule and say, you shouldn't be, what are they, 10 games into the season now, and you haven't had a single game where you've allowed 1 or 0 goals?
Yeah.
Like 2 or more goals in every single game.
The answer to your question is Chicago and Dallas, Luukkonen was a 946 and a 933.
Okay.
That's not exactly the advanced statistics part of it.
But that's good.
But those are the only two save percentages you would sign up for going into a game, are those two.
2 out of 10?
2 out of 10. A 946 and a 933. The next highest is 909.
Yeah.
Well, again, that's the Kings, a game that they lose that they should have won.
Yeah, so that's worth watching. But they were impressive yesterday. I mean, I think every game they play, I'm more confident that their top line is just going to do this all year. That they're going to be one of the best top lines in hockey. Megan Chayka, who covers the league for ESPN, put out numbers the other day, like chances off the rush in the NHL this year, and like Alex Tuch and Tage Thompson are like number one and number three in the league. Like they are, all three of those guys are really fast.
And that's where they were 2 years ago.
They were, yeah, off the rush, they were getting a ton of chances. So I think they have a top line that's going to keep their heads above water pretty much all season. That's a lot of what 2 years ago was. You really need the difference to be goaltending, though.
Yep. If they're going to break the drought. Are you confident they will be in it? Like, we're going to have a season.
Like, they'll at least be live?
We'll have a race. We're going to have a race here. The division looks pretty darn soft.
I'm pretty, yeah.
Like, that's probably a part of this. The division, nobody's running away with it. Until last night, the Sabres had the same record as the Leafs. And now the Sabres are 4-5-1. Here are the teams that are between 5-4-1 and 4-4-0.
Yeah.
Right? It's Leafs, Red Wings, Canadiens, Bruins, Sabres, and Ottawa. Ottawa, 2 days ago, was in second place. Now they're in last.
Yeah. Yeah, they've lost a couple.
That's how fast that goes.
Yeah. I'm pretty confident they're going to be live. They look impressive. They look impressive to me.
Parts of them look impressive.
Yeah, like there's... I think the guys, though, that are being asked to kind of play important roles for the most part, other than the goaltending, are the ones, to me, that are looking pretty good. Like, I like Power season a lot so far. I know we missed that empty net last night, but I've liked Power a lot. He also had a rush chance up the ice where he almost took it himself, and that is not a goal you often see Owen... How often does Owen Power show, like, the confidence? Like, I'm just going to drive to the net myself. He didn't score the goal, but... Powers look good to me. Love their top line. I love their third line. Like, to me, yeah, I need more from their Cousins line. I need more from their goaltending. But yep. That might be end of list. Power play's got 2 goals in 2 games. So we'll see if that continues. Someone other than Jason Zucker maybe can score a power play goal.
He's looked all right.
He's looked good,
he's
right?
Looked like a decent signing.
Like, there's enough that is going well for me to feel confident. They're at least going to be in it at the end of the year. They're not going to be hanging around like 75 points with 2 weeks to go in the season. And if they win out, guys, they might have a shot here.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like they could be like realistically live. Like, I bet they're going to spend days this season where they're in playoff spots. Even that is something that didn't happen 2 years ago. How many days did they spend in a playoff spot?
It's been like one day.
Right.
And last year, what the famous stat was, at one point they were 0-6 for games in which they could have moved into one.
Yeah.
Every time they got an opportunity to move up, they crumbled.
Yeah. So, I felt good about them yesterday going into the game. I didn't hate the way they played. I hate the score, but they were playing the Florida Panthers. The Florida Panthers are one of the best teams in hockey, defending Stanley Cup champions. Like, I don't want to crush them because they lost to Florida.
Yep.
That's where I'm at.
Need some saves. Somebody. Anybody.
Their next 3 games, you want to be
Islanders,
a team
Red Wings
that is going to be in a playoff spot during stretches of this year. Islanders, Red Wings, Senators.
There you go.
Those are all teams that you are probably going to be in direct competition with at the end of the year. Go ahead. Go in 2 of those 3, at least. Maybe all 3.
803-0550 if you want to chime in and throw a thought our way. We'll talk with Paul about last night's game at 7:30. We'll recap it. Also at 8 o'clock, Seth Appert, part of our Lindy Ruff series when we do Tuesdays behind the bench. Most times it's going to be Lindy. Sometimes we'll get Seth Appert just to get a little bit of a different perspective on it. And a Sabres player mixed in as well. So Tuesdays at 8 is kind of our behind the bench series here on WGR. So no Lindy today. Instead, we'll talk with Seth Appert and get his take on how things are going, how the power play has changed, and everything else. So stay tuned for that. Paul 7:30, Seth Appert at 8. And of course, football. Back to it. The Chiefs made a trade yesterday, trading for a pass rusher, Josh Uche, out of New England, who was a healthy scratch, and speculation there he was going to be traded, and then he was. So I expect more trades in the NFL. Wonder if the Bills would get in on any of those. But if you want to join us, you can. 803-0550 on the Sabres, who lost last night, had their 3-game win streak snapped at the hands of the Florida Panthers. Rusty in Hamburg is going to lead us off. Rusty, good morning. You're on WGR.
Good morning, guys. Just listening to you guys, I agree with plenty of what you are saying. But to stick up for our goaltenders a little bit, how many times can we leave these guys out to dry where it doesn't get into their psyche, meaning the defense, as Dowling did last night, going behind the net when he already had a guy behind the net, tending to the Florida Panthers. And let's go back to the Pittsburgh game where they're all watching the puck. Well, let's watch where Crosby is, because where Crosby is, that's where the puck's going to be, and he scores a goal behind the net. I mean, so many times you watch them games and these guys are just getting behind them. Our opponents are behind the D and making a play, and these guys are just watching like they're looking deer in the headlights. And, I mean, if I'm a goaltender, how many times can you watch that? So, yeah, I think they should be playing better, the goaltenders, but at the same time, I don't, for the life of me, these guys have been in the league 6-7 years. This should be like defense 1-1.
Well,
and I just think it's puzzling how our defensemen just, can't figure that simple. And I will say this, though. Last night, I seen Power and few of these guys play a little stronger, knocking guys off the puck and, throwing the weight around. Again, it just puzzles me on the defensive end what the play goes behind their back.
Yeah, thanks, Rusty. Frustrating.
Play, I totally agree. Like, Dahlin should not be chasing behind the net when Samuelson's already covering him.
I don't think he's having a great year right now.
No.
I mean, there's, of course, like an injury he'd been working through. Without disagreeing, the Penguin game, how many goals did they give up? 6. Expected goals? 3.6.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Lukanen, what we have to do with Lukanen now on some level is ask for more. He got the contract.
Yeah.
He's a guy now. He's not just your AHL one of three. Should they waive this guy? Should they keep who's going to get in, Comrie or Levi? Or Lukanen is a five-year, $5 million goalie. Mm-hmm. You got to make saves. And his expected goals, he's giving up more than he should. And last night's another example of that. Five. More than two goals over expected. And in Pittsburgh, more than two goals over expected. The one thing about your defense looking worse is when the goals go in, there are breakdowns all over the place. And did your goalie make a save that he needed to? And I don't think Lukanen's making it enough. So they're just going to be breakdowns. That's the job. Until I find a guy that can be in the net, that I can pay, I can talk about how you have to play better in front of him. But Lukanen is making, again, it's not huge money. They're the best goalies, the guy they played against makes $10 million, right? Bobrovsky?
Right.
Like, yep. So he's not quite on that level, but he's paid starter money. And I'm looking for average, and I don't think I'm getting average right now. I think I'm getting below average goaltending.
Yeah, give me saves even in spots where you're maybe not supposed to, like once in a while. Bail out the defense.
Right. High danger chances last night. Numbers 7-6.
Okay,
in all situations.
Yep.
That's wouldn't you take that most nights? You're hoping to. And again, most nights you might lose if it's Bobrovsky versus Lukanen and it's 7-6. But a playoff series, I had the crazy thought about
what a Sabre Panther.
I had that crazy
playoff
thought,
series,
and I thought Panthers in five. You know, but like with a Sabres win and with an overtime loss where you're like, all right, it was respectable.
Yeah. Yeah. Not a team I'm not going to worry about it. I don't care. If they get there, cool.
Right.
I'll take right now them losing a five-game series to the Florida Panthers.
Yeah.
They also, like, if this matters to you, they don't look like they get bullied around by a Florida. Like, last night, they were throwing their weight around. Right, like they were getting into stuff after the whistle, so you know, intimidated, bullied, whatever you want. Like they didn't look like they were that was happening against a team that does that to everybody. Like the Panthers are the new Bruins, right? The Bruins who eviscerated the Sabres 12 years ago and like started this whole thing, right? The Sabres thought they had to get tougher. That was the moment they started getting bad, like a decade ago. And Florida does that to everybody. And, you know, this Sabres team doesn't look like that happens to them. So take that for what it's worth. I don't know how meaningful it is to how good they are, but it would certainly make a playoff series fun.
I'd take any playoff series, yeah. 803-0550. Ryan on a cell phone up next. Hey, Ryan, good morning.
Hey, morning, guys. How you doing?
Good, thanks.
I just want to touch on a couple things real quick. Honestly, I think these guys got some found money in that third line. I mean, that third line is just clicking, and they look great. But they got to figure something out with this second line. I think they're going to be real dangerous if that line gets going. I don't know what's going on with Jack Quinn, but he is just sinking that line. He's a turnover machine. He looks slow. He gets over the blue line and just throws it blindly to the center, right in the middle of the ice to nobody, and it goes back the other way so fast. I don't know. I just think you got to play. I think Kulik's playing better than him. He looks faster, stronger on the puck, making plays. I don't know. I mean, Quinn's on the power play too, which is mind blowing to me because I just don't think he's deserved any time there, especially this year. But I don't know. I think maybe I know Benson's hurt, but I think Kulik deserves to be in there right now. And I think if you get that line going and get Cousins scoring, get some confidence, you might have, you know, four lines really, really just running. But real quick, I know you're just touching on the goalie thing. They definitely need saves too. But I don't know, maybe the Reimer thing, losing him might bite them. I know, you know, Levi and Lukanen have good games and bad games. But you can't have that inconsistency where both of them are struggling. I know Reimer, I think, had decent save percentage last year. But I don't know, maybe hopefully it doesn't end up biting them. But they need to not let in these weak goals against these good teams. And, you know, every game's tight in the NHL. Can't be letting in these soft goals night in and night out that could bite you. But
yeah, thanks, Ryan. On the point about the second line and how to get it going, this is, I don't know, I want to make like an Amari Cooper parallel where Cooper slotted everyone where they were supposed to be.
Mm-hmm.
Right? This team was supposed to go out and get a top six forward, and they didn't.
Mm-hmm.
So what happened? Well, Paterka went to the top line, which he was there last year some.
But end of last year, he was there.
Sure, but yeah. Paterka goes onto that top line, meaning he comes off of the line that we liked for a little bit of time there, the Cousins, Quinn, Paterka, the kid line.
Yeah.
There were times that that felt like it was buzzing. It was the future. You could see the future of that line. So Paterka got pulled off that, and what's the response? What's the answer? Like, that line's kind of dead. I saw someone suggest last night the Sabres should roll three, and that meant sitting the second line.
Yeah.
Which
I think they've done that a couple times.
Right.
This
so
year.
What you ultimately get is you were supposed to get a top six forward, you didn't, and you killed one of your top three lines by doing it.
Well,
you need to clone Paterka and put him on both lines.
Not only that, and I'm not saying I hated that they moved him up there, but this is a consequence of buying out Jeff Skinner. Jeff Skinner, his ability to play on the top line didn't go as well last year, but him playing on the top line allowed Paterka to play on the Cousins Quinn line. And then you had two live lines. And you took Skinner off, and that was fine.
Yep.
You just didn't replace him.
You needed to replace him.
Who played on the second line last night? Obey Kubel. He's good. I like the player. Come on. Top six? That should never happen. You bought out Skinner and weren't ready to replace him. Or weren't able to replace him. Weren't capable. Last year was a bad year for him, and he scored 24 goals. I would beg for that right now. A one-dimensional 24-goal score right now would help this hockey team. And they don't have it, and right now I think they are missing a scoring line because of it.
Yeah.
And it's not just that. Quinn does not look good. Cousins makes more, to me, mental errors shift to shift than any player on the team. Like, he doesn't play smart. Like, I think right now, I don't know if that's for his career and what he's been in the past. It just, there are mistakes you're seeing every shift. Quinn, maybe it's just the speed that's happening. The caller mentions, like, maybe you sit Quinn. That's, I don't know. On merit, sure, but that's not a forever thing. That's not a permanent idea. Benson will get back, and then, okay, who do you put in? Who do you take out? Who's even in the rotation? Is Jack Quinn in that? Because that's a top 10 pick that looked good 2 years ago, and you're just going to what? You're just going to put him in the press box? Because you need to get him going, not put him in the press box. So sitting him is, to me, doesn't sound appealing, even though he might deserve to be sat.
803-0550. If you want to chime in, some Sabres reaction to last night's loss to the Florida Panthers. The Steelers won their 6-2. We can talk about how real that is. Go ahead and look at the wins that they've got.
I will say they've got one play on offense at least. Russell Wilson moonballs to George Pickens.
Yeah, and last night Calvin Austin got one of them.
Yeah, Calvin Austin too. Like they've got a downfield element of their game.
Okay, you want to get stupid when we get back? I got a real something happened last night in that game that was really stupid, and is going to bring about stupid questions. The George Pickens incomplete touchdown. Maybe you saw it, maybe you didn't. Here's the Cliff Notes. He got 2 feet inbounds in the end zone, but he got the same foot in twice.
Yeah.
That's not complete.
Right.
We all learned that last night. You catch a ball and get 2 feet, but it's the same foot twice, that's incomplete.
Uh-huh.
So when we return, I'd like to ask a question and potentially get stupid with it. How stupid can we get exploiting that rule and how obviously dumb it is? Jeremy and Joe, 803-0550 on WGR.
Thompson, quick shot, rebound, scores! Right at the post! Zucker, Sabres on the board, trailing 2-1.
Tage Thompson. One of the first moments of the game brought to you by Firth Jewelers. For all the moments in your life, go forth to Firth. We'll talk to Paul Hamilton coming up 7:30 on the Sabres, who lost last night to the Florida Panthers. Quick thoughts on it from the first segment if you're just waking up. They looked pretty good. It's kind of fine. They need some saves. That's my take.
They also played a team that has superstars littered throughout their lineup. I mean,
yes.
Barkov is unbelievable. The way he holds onto the puck, the plays he makes, I mean, he scored a goal last night. Like, he's just so good.
This is where I am contractually bound to point out. Real diamond in the rough, that guy. They found him, scouting him where? Right? Seventh round pick, that guy?
Hmm.
Is he second overall?
Second overall, yeah.
They have another guy who's pretty good that went second overall, too, on their team.
Who's that?
I believe his name is Samson.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Another guy scored who went third overall last night. Sam Bennett, whom hasn't exactly lived up to a third overall.
Was he third or fourth?
He's fourth. He's fourth, sorry.
Was he third?
No,
Drysdale went third, and then Bennett went fourth.
And, of course, they have Ekblad.
Well, they just have the top five of that draft because they do. Wait, that's right. They have Ekblad, Reinhart, Bennett. Who are they missing? Just Drysdale? Well, he's in a contract year. Or did he sign? I don't remember. Whatever. They're loaded. They're just loaded.
Yep.
They're not going anywhere for a long time.
No, they're not. They're very good. 803-0550, our number. All right, I've got a Let's Get Stupid. You want to do it? Let's get stupid here.
Let's get stupid.
Let's get real, let's get real stupid off last night's Steelers and Giants game. So maybe you missed it. George Pickens caught a ball in the end zone and put one foot down and then got blasted in the chest, shoved out of the back of the end zone on the way down. The same foot that touched down once, touched down a second time, meaning 2 feet. One knee equals 2 feet.
Right.
Two of the same foot is less than a knee. Figure that one out.
Or a shoulder, right? Because a shoulder counts.
An elbow is 2 feet.
Yeah.
An elbow is 2 feet, but two of the same foot is not 2 feet.
I think I learned in college football this week that the head also counts because there was a guy whose like head landed in bounds before anything else, and they called him in bounds.
We've also learned along the way that if you land with 2 feet and your toes are up in the air, you could stand for an hour.
I hate that.
And if your heels then come down, that's out of bounds.
I see.
That one doesn't make sense either.
That one I hate because when you can freeze frame, hey, there's a freeze frame where his toes are down. Like, that doesn't count.
I just want to see a guy hold it.
See, I don't think this is going to be stupid.
And sit there on his tiptoes, standing there on his toes, looking around the official like, can I put my feet down? Mm-mm. No, you have to move your feet off of the spot that they are while you're controlling this ball and put your full foot down.
Yeah.
Never mind that if you're going the other direction, toes do count as feet.
So let me ask a question. If someone just for whatever caught the ball at the 20-yard line and then hopped.
This is what I want to get to for Let's Get Stupid.
Oh, this is it? Okay.
This is it.
Okay.
You catch a ball. Yeah. You're standing on 1 foot.
Yeah.
You proceed to hop on 1 foot, 20 yards.
Yeah.
Cross the plane of the goal line into the end zone. Then drop the ball because you think, I have scored a touchdown. I've caught the ball and hopped 20 yards into the end zone and then dropped it. They would rule that play incomplete. That's incomplete. Because, it was the same foot. That doesn't count.
Right. Like the refs wouldn't blow the play dead. Like, he would cross the goal line. He would stand there on 1 foot, yep. And, like, the play would just continue.
They'd just be waiting for that second foot. Like, man, I only see 1 foot.
You could really actually play around with the clock here. I don't know if they would actually do this, but if you're up, like you hop into the end zone, the other team doesn't know the play is over, and you're just trying to wind the clock, you just stand there on 1 foot, the clock keeps bleeding out.
Yeah, because the play's not over.
The play's not over.
Does the official know?
No, he's never going to know.
Hold on. Not until I see that second foot, dude. You better put that second foot down, stat.
I think the obvious correction here is that they should change the rule.
Yes, of course.
They should change it to, if you get 2 feet, if you get the same foot down twice, it's 2 feet down.
Yes.
And if your toe lands down, I'm into that one too. If your toe is inbounds, the play's over right then and there. Your 1 foot's down and your toe for your other foot is down, play's over. I don't care what happens with your heel after. End of play. Freeze frame, end. Plus, also, you get more scoring. Wouldn't the league want that anyway?
You would think.
The Pickens touchdown should have counted last night.
Yes.
You also want stupid here, and Let's Get Stupid. Is how dumb is it that Tomlin challenged that call after it was reviewed?
By Sky Judge?
Yeah.
It's pretty funny.
Like, dude, they already reviewed it. You want to challenge it anyway? Did they let him challenge it? I didn't even see if they let him challenge it or follow through with it.
The Steelers are 6-2. They change quarterbacks and they're fine. Actually, they probably are better.
I think they're better.
They're better with Russell Wilson on
them. They look pretty good. He's got the downfield shot. If you look at his passing charts through 2 weeks, like, they're living off him throwing the ball down the field to George Pickens. But it's kind of working. And I'm not going to lie, Najee Harris has never looked this good in his life. He's jumping over people now?
Yeah, he looks good. He ran for over 100 yards.
Yeah. Like, he hasn't been looking like that for 3 years entering the NFL. So, I'm not all the way to they're good, but they're maybe not as fake as I thought they were. They have a really hard schedule coming up. Like, they played the easy, all their easiest games were in the beginning of the year. So they could definitely still drop games here coming up.
Yep. 803-0550, our phone number, 1-888-550-2550. If you'd like to chime in, Steelers beat the Giants. There was a play last night that this is where coaches do something very smart and people on the broadcast don't know what's happening. So this is also, if we could do this, it's kind of a loosely connected point to a small gripe that some of us have with the way the Bills call their offense. Mm-hmm. They like to run on second and short.
They did it again on Sunday.
They love to run on second and short, which is a small problem, but whatever. We can table that for a little while. So last night in the game, the Steelers are up 26-18 in the game. It's a second and three, and the Giants need to get the ball back.
Yeah.
So on second and three, Brian Daboll sends out a 12-man defense on purpose.
Yeah.
Why? We want you to get this first down.
Right.
Then he used two timeouts and forced a fourth down punt, because Mike Tomlin, of course, was definitely going to punt that ball. That's playing the player.
Yes.
Listen, this is Pittsburgh. This dude's going to punt this ball.
Yeah.
Used two timeouts, forced a fourth down punt, got the ball back with 2 minutes left. The Giants got the ball back in part because they intentionally took a penalty on second and three. Why? Because a second and three is advantage offense in most situations.
Mm-hmm.
Better than a first and ten. In this case, downs equal time. And last night, Daboll made a smart move. And they still lost because they have Daniel Jones.
Right.
Which is a lot of why they lose.
Who I think they're about to move off of, by the way.
Yeah, I think so, too.
Did you see this from Dan Schneider? Oh, there was a couple tweets on this. Daboll called him out in postgame. Daboll, who, by the way, like losing his mind the whole game on the sidelines, which if you had Daniel Jones as your quarterback, you might do the same thing. But he said after the game on the TJ Watt strip sack that Jones was supposed to shift Theo Johnson, the tight end, to the right side on TJ Watt. He was focused on the coverage and didn't signal the shift. So there was supposed to be a shift on the play that the quarterback never got to. And Dan Schneider, who covers the Giants, tweeted out that he's watched enough Giants tape over the last 3 years. No, this is not the first time that Jones has made this mistake like this with a check, but it is the first time Daboll has called it out on a press conference.
So it's Drew Lock season?
It might be Drew Lock season. Which, how much better is that supposed to be? I don't know, but it might finally be the end of the Daniel Jones experiment, which is kind of weird that it's even gone this long. How long have you known Daniel Jones is not a great quarterback? Does it feel like we've known for 5 years that he's not very good?
Yep.
This is his sixth season. Six. How many guys get that long of an opportunity? Like, it's not normal, I don't think, that someone, even as a first-round pick, has gotten that long. It's like E.J. Manuel got pulled in the second season, like 12 games in, right? And this guy's working on 66 starts.
It's got to be ownership.
Yes.
It's probably what it is.
Yeah, I think it's probably
the owner wanted them to keep Saquon and kept him there probably longer than they should have.
The owner valued their playoff berth a lot.
Yeah.
That's probably what happened. And they won a playoff game, too.
803-0550, 1-888-550-2550. Bills Dolphins, Sunday, 1 o'clock.
Did you see Josh Allen is the MVP favorite now?
That makes sense.
Yeah. He's the MVP favorite on most books. There's a couple where he's not, but most he is. Mahomes now third.
Okay, Mahomes third. I'm glad you brought up Mahomes. This won't be quite let's get stupid, but if an alien landed on Earth today and watched only this NFL season,
mm-hmm.
where would that alien rank Patrick Mahomes among the starting quarterbacks?
I don't know, 19th, 18th?
10th.
Maybe 10th.
Because right now there's a lot of dunking going on and that on the Worthy versus Keon Coleman stuff.
Yeah,
and the real, I think the juicier part of that is that every one of those is a Worthy v. Coleman tweet, but it's a disguise because it's actually an Allen Mahomes tweet. Mahomes has 8 touchdowns and 9 picks. Mahomes had 2 touchdowns in a game for the first time in a while. He had not thrown a touchdown in the month of October until he got 2 against the Raiders.
He has a long streak of not throwing three touchdowns.
It's been a year. It was gone a full year.
Yeah.
Last year was October, mid-October.
Wow.
He has gone a full year without three total touchdowns in a game, Patrick Mahomes.
Three total.
Total.
So include rushing?
Include rushing.
Wow.
A full year.
Yeah.
That offense has been broken, and maybe it's injuries, maybe it's a bunch of things. The thing about Worthy, you know, you can sit here and say how he hasn't done much. He has five touchdowns.
Mm-hmm.
He has three receiving touchdowns. Where would they be without that guy? Like, he actually is somewhat of a valuable piece to them, but their offense is not dangerous. At least it hasn't looked like it to this point. Now DeAndre Hopkins, maybe that changes things, but like all those Coleman Worthy yards over, every single one of those I saw, I didn't have the guts to do it to say, you know, this is everyone telling you that Mahomes kind of stinks right now. He doesn't flat out stink.
But he's not playing to this is the best quarterback in the world by far.
Isn't the whole idea that he was everything proof? He's got Andy Reid.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter whose receivers are. This doesn't matter. That doesn't matter. He's Mahomes. He can do what he wants. He's coordinator proof. Look at what they did. They traded Tyreek Hill and they won the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
And yet now they had to go trade for DeAndre Hopkins. Listen, the injuries are no doubt a factor. Rashee Rice and Hollywood Brown being out for them are no doubt a factor. But he's proving, as I think many of us would expect, to not be invincible where you can have nothing around him. The Chiefs never drafted Xavier Worthy to expect him to be their number one guy. He was supposed to be a piece of their offense, and then their offense all fell apart around him.
Worthy's catchable target rate on the season, 55%, which is 88th in the league.
That's incredible. What's Coleman's?
Let's see. But basically, while I look up Coleman's, that's almost half of Worthy's targets. Just like you don't,
but
you don't even have a shot.
Yeah,
you don't even have a shot at it.
It's not to say anything about the trade with the Bills. It's just to say, make sure you're focusing on the right dude here,
yeah.
Mahomes.
Catchable target rate for Keon Coleman, 77.8%, 21st in the league.
21st versus 88th.
Yeah. 22% higher for Coleman.
Pretty good. Pretty good. 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550. It is Jeremy and Joe. You can join us here on WGR.
World Series game with a Freddie Freeman home run. And the Dodgers are on the board first in game three.
Your stat of the day. Dodgers are up 3-0. The stat of the day is Freddie Freeman has homered in five consecutive World Series games.
It's pretty good.
Yes.
When were the Braves in the World Series?
The Braves?
Wait, not the Braves. Who were the previous two games with? The Braves, right?
Yes, I think that's right.
Yeah. So it goes back to another World Series, is all I'm saying.
Yes.
No, wait a minute. Dodgers would have been in it again. I don't remember. Whatever. Five in a row.
Last year was Texas.
Yeah.
Texas being the Diamondbacks. So, yeah, Freddie Freeman, five straight World Series games played with a home run for him.
Including the Grand Slam.
Yes, the walk-off Grand Slam.
Yeah.
The other part of the stat of the day would be Aaron Judge.
Mr. June.
Oof. Man, you know, it's really...
Put it on his baseball reference page, Mr. June.
Let me tell you something. It makes me uncomfortable. I hate it. But it's not like he doesn't deserve it. I hate when one of the best players, most beloved players, lets people down in the postseason, and like all of a sudden, you say the meanest things about your favorite guy, because that's Yankee fans right now, and that is not a good look, but... I mean, what are you going to do? He's been horrible.
He's been really bad.
Yes. Horrible. And the Yankees' managing decisions from game one, pulling Gerrit Cole, to last night, sending a runner home. What was it? Soto? They sent home?
Stanton,
yeah.
Stanton.
Sending Stanton home from third, and he got hosed at the plate.
Yeah, because he's like the slowest player in the league.
Sorry, Yankee fans. A Bronx ovation.
Is he number one now?
For Judge.
Is he number one in sports right now for dude doesn't show up in the playoffs?
It's Lamar and it's Aaron Judge?
Lamar and Judge.
I think Judge might beat him for it.
Lamar just descends in the playoffs. I wouldn't say he's horrible. Isn't Judge like horrible?
Yes.
Like unplayable. Well, maybe not.
Judge is hitting 140 this postseason.
Okay, maybe then.
20 strikeouts.
Yeah, that's pretty bad.
That's pretty bad. All right, maybe we'll see what Paul has
love
to say
to see
about it.
You'll love to see it. It's fun when it's a Yankee doing it.
Yeah. Paul 730, Jeremy and Joe here on WGR.